أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the ayat that we discussed last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a moment drew our attention to Ashabul Jannah, the people of Jannah, the inhabitants of Jannah, and the many comforts and pleasures that they will enjoy therein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then took our focus and drew our attention back to the scene on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the criminals, the disobedient, the sinners, to separate themselves and to distance themselves from the believers. We said that on the day of Qiyamah, when all will be resurrected, all will be scattered, and people will be mixed up. But thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then categorize them and have them placed in separate groups. And that was the verse of the Quran where Allah says, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمِ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ أَوْ criminals, O disobedient ones, separate yourself and distance yourself today from the believers. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ. In the last two verses that we discussed yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded the disbelievers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them of the warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had issued to them in the world in the form of the anbiya and the divine injunctions and scriptures that were revealed to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them of that. Allah says, did I not guide you, O Bani Adam, O children of Adam, Allah ta'budu shaitan? Did I not tell you that do not succumb to the demands of shaitan and do not worship shaitan? Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Time and again, I've warned you that shaitan is an open, clear enemy for you. Wa ni'buduni. And did I not guide you and instruct you that you should worship me alone? Hadha siratum mustaqim. And that is the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ayahs that we are going to discuss this evening, and that is ayah number 62, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues reprimanding them, admonishing them. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا. And he had misguided, referring to who? Referring to shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he had misguided a great amount of people from among you. جِبِلًّا, جِبِلًّا means a huge multitude, multitudes and multitudes of people. Shaitan had succeeded in misguiding them and misleading them. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did you not have sense? Could you not think? Could you not use your brains, your aql? Now this is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that to combat shaitan and the influences of shaitan, shaitan, you will realize that, you know, throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drew our attention towards his onslaught continuously. It never comes to an end right up to the moment when you are in the throes of death. When you are at your weakest point, he is there. And he is trying to mislead and misguide, and he's trying to recruit that dying person even before he leaves from this world. So it's an ongoing effort. But look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah, who succumbed to the demands of shaitan and who fell in the traps that shaitan had laid out for them. What did Allah say to them? أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. To combat shaitan and the influence of shaitan, you had to use your aql. It was so obvious. You had to use your brains. You had to think. But this is not right. This is definitely an influence of shaitan. This temptation that is presented before me, and this deed that is so decorated and so well beautified before me, Allah saying, use your aql. أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why did you not exercise your minds? Now, humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and within us He has placed two vital components. The one is the aql, the intellect, the brains, the capacity to think and use our minds. That is known as aql. And the second component that we have within us is shahwa. Shahwa, your desire. Okay? Now you either succumb to your desire, and that's what shaitan targets. Shaitan does not target your aql. He doesn't target your intellect. He targets your shahwa, your desire, your carnal desire, your carnal self. That is his target of onslaught. That is where he directs his attack towards, the shahwa. Now, human beings, we have these two components within us. If we allow ourselves to succumb to our shahwa, then that is when we fall into the trap of shaitan. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. You have to use your aql. To combat shaitan, you had to give preference to your aql, to your intellect, to thinking over your shahwa. When you look at the malaika, they only have one component within them. What is that? That is a component of aql. They don't have the component of shahwa in them. They have absolutely no desire to commit any sin or any act of disobedience. They never disobey Allah. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. Allah says they never. Why? Because they only have within them the component of aql. Animals, on the other hand, do not have the component of aql, intellect, the capacity to think, but they have within them shahwa. They only have shahwa in them. And that is why when a human being, if he gives preference to his aql over his shahwa, he will reach a level higher than that of the angels. Why? Because he had to battle it out between aql and shahwa. But he eventually gave preference. He reached a level higher than that of the angels. And on the other hand, if he always succumbs to his shahwa, he will reach a level worse than that of the animals. Because the animal only has shahwa and no aql. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, use your aql. And that is why, elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mulk, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as the people of Jahannam are being dragged into Jahannam, and they realize that they are going to enter Jahannam, what's the first thing they're going to say? قَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ. If we only listened and then used our aql. If we only listen, you listen to the advice, you listen to the words of Allah, you listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you think about it. That's what you have to do. And that's why Allah says He revealed the Quran, not simply for recitation and for memorization of the Quran. You know, subhanAllah, there's not one hadith, there's not one ayah in the Quran that speaks about khatam of Quran. I'm not saying we shouldn't do khatam, but you and I, in the month of Ramadan, what's the first thing that comes to my mind? How many khatams can I make this Ramadan? What's there is this competitive nature within our homes. People are competing to make more khatams than the other, which is good. I am not discouraging khatam. The khatam of the Quran. But there's not one hadith. Wallahi, you will not find one hadith or one ayah of the Quran that encourages or that stresses the importance of making multiple khatams. Nowhere. But there are hundreds of ayat and ahadith stressing the importance of applying the mind to Quran. Absorbing the message of the Quran. What's the point? Khatam upon khatam. Hifz jalsa upon hifz jalsa. Hafiz upon hafiz, as if it's become a fashion today. So you have a whole generation out there of millions of huffaz, but unfortunately, no importance is attached to understanding the message of the Quran. That's a sad, unfortunate reality that we, the Muslim ummah, are faced with. So we satisfy ourselves by saying, oh, I made so many khatams. It's good, alhamdulillah, you'll be rewarded. 10 hasanat for every letter that you have recited, you will be given that. But was that the purpose for the revelation of the Quran? Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. When Allah speaks about the revelation of the Quran, Allah said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah did not say, why do they not read the Quran? Allah did not say, why do they not memorize the Quran? Allah says, why do they not contemplate over the deeply? تَدَبُّر, what's تَدَبُّر? Why do they not deeply contemplate over the message of the Quran? That is why we have revealed it. That's when it's going to bring about a transformation in your life. Again, I'm not discouraging hifz of Qur'an and tilawah of the Qur'an. I'm not discouraging it. But we have given something, great significance to something, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached far more greater importance and significance to something else. And it's about time we start connecting with the Qur'an on a different level. With the recitation, perfecting the recitation and so forth, understanding the message of your Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first thing the people of Jahannam in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah says, the first thing they will say is, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ. Why did we not use our aql? مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If only we used our intellect and our aql to think over the message of Allah, to contemplate over the message of Allah, we would not have been from amongst the inmates of Jahannam. Now, the month of Ramadan, one of the titles of the month of Ramadan is what? شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ. shahrus sabr. What does sabr mean? You and I know sabr, we translate sabr as patience. That's one meaning of sabr. Another meaning of sabr is restraint. It is the month of restraint. Sabr means restraint. It teaches us to inculcate within us the quality of what? Restraining ourselves. You can't eat whatever you want to eat, or what time you want to eat, or whenever you want to eat. You can't. You have to restrain yourself. So the month of Ramadan teaches us to restrain our shahwa. To get our shahwa. We spoke about shahwa. To get our shahwa under control. If you can get your shahwa under control, it gives you a better advantage of using your aqal. Once you get the advantage of using your aqal, or giving preference to your aqal over your shahwa, you have a strong, great chance to combat the influences of shaitan. هذه جهنم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, certainly the devil, أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ, he has misguided from amongst you, جِبِلًّا, جِبِل, جِبِل means a huge, large group, كَثِيرًا, multitudes of you, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ, why did you all not use your brains? Why could you not think? هذه جهنم. Now this is جهنم. Now you are faced with جهنم. Now it doesn't matter how much you think or how much you use your aql. هذه جهنم. This is the جهنم التي كنتم توعدون, of which you were consistently warned. Look at the ayat of Quran. How many ayat of Quran speak of Jahannam? Every now and again, the ayah speaking of Jahannam, the reality of Jahannam. Allah is saying, consistently you have been warned of Jahannam. Here it is before your very eyes right now. Islawha, throw yourselves into it. Islawha, it will be said to the disbelievers. Islawha, enter it today. Throw yourselves into it. Bima kuntum takfurun, because you have been persistently denying the truth. اليوم نختم على أفواههم. Now, it is said about the disbelievers that when they are going to be said to them that throw yourselves into Jahannam, because they are going to be charged. In fact, the sentence is going to be passed against them that they have committed shirk in this world and they have committed kufr in this world. They have consistently denied the truth. Allah explains elsewhere in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 23, the first thing they will say is, وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. They will say, let us lie. It's not going to make any difference right now. But let's see, perhaps we lie, and maybe we can get saved by the lie that we speak. They will say, by Allah, we take a qasam, وَاللَّهِ, by Allah, مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ, we ascribe no partners to Allah. That is what they will say with their tongues, and with their mouths. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم today نختم. نختم means to place a seal. ختم. Like when you place a stamp or when you seal the letter, the envelope, we call that ختم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today we will set a seal on their mouths. Allah will seal up their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. The hands will speak to us. Subhanallah. Allah will give the hands the ability to speak. And وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And their legs will bear witness about what they used to do. Their legs are going to speak. Their organs are going to speak. So there's two words I'd like to draw your attention to. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, three words in fact, al-yawmu, that's ayah number 65. Allah says, al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Afwah means the mouth. So he's going to place a seal on the mouth. Watukallimuna aydihim. Aydi means the hands. So the mouths have been mentioned, afwah, aydi, the hands. Watashhuru arjuluhum. Arjul means feet. Is the plural of rijlun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and their own feet will testify against them of all that they had committed. So we learn that in this world, we have control over our limbs. Right? We have full control over our limbs. Okay? You can raise your hand whenever you so feel like doing, and you can move in whichever direction you want to do, whichever direction you wish to move. So we have full control over our limbs, but on Qiyamah, only Allah will have full control over your limbs. We will not have control over our limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have full control over our limbs. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the speaking of one's ear. The ear will speak. The skin will speak. Allah says, شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمُلُونَ. Their ears, their eyes, their skins will testify against them. And they will say, they will speak to their organs. They will speak to their organs. Can you have a greater testifier against you than your own limbs? There's something you can never deny and never reject, the testimony of your own limbs. And they will shout out and they will cry and they will rebuke their limbs. قَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. They will speak to their limbs. Why did you testify against us? قَالُوا. They will respond. The limbs will respond. And what will they say? أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah who has given power of speech to all things, He has enabled us to speak. Allah has enabled us to speak. We have no control over this. Now, earlier in Surah Yasin, earlier we spoke about the passing of a sentence, correct? Can anyone point it out? Sentence was passed, and after the sentence was passed, what happened next? They were shackled and they were chained in section number 1, correct? If you go to the first page, section number 1, ayah number 7. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says the sentence has been passed by Allah. What was the sentence? That most of them are not going to believe. Once that sentence was passed by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as a people. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. We are going to place fetters on their necks. And Allah spoke about them being shackled, of course, and it was a figurative expression. Here, once again, we find what is happening. Sentencing is taking place. Who are the witnesses? Your own limbs. And what happened over there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala painted the scene of a prison. After the sentencing took place, it was as if they were sent to a prison. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ يَدِهِمْ سَدًّا. Correct? We placed a barrier in front of them. We placed a barrier at the back of them. We covered them. So it paints a scene of a prison. Here also what happens? After the sentencing takes place, and the witnesses are their limbs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then instruct them to go into the prison of the Akhirah, and that is Jahannam. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ. We move on. Allah says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. And had we willed, let alone Qiyamah, where we have sealed their mouths. They must not for a moment think in this world, okay, fine, in this world we have control over our limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only have full control of our limbs in Akhirah. Allah brings us to this world. Allah says, listen, and if we willed, لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ, we would have wiped out their eyes. We can do it in this world. Look at how Allah's threatening them. Why? Because they kept on threatening Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They kept on threatening him. They kept on threatening the Sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah remained silent. Allah says, you do not respond. Allah kept on responding. They tell them to watch out, be aware. They should take precaution. What are they doing? Why are they threatening? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let alone Qiyamah. Don't think only there I have control over your limbs. In this very world, Allah says we can wipe out, if we wanted to, we can wipe out their eyes. عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الصِّرَاطِ. And they would have been racing towards the way, but how would they see? Now once they lose their eyesight, they realize it's a punishment from Allah, and now they want to go to a sirat. We spoke about sirat, correct? The straight path. Now they want to go looking for a sirat, but their gazes have been wiped out. Their eyes have been totally wiped out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. Now how would they see? How would they manage to get to as-sirat, to the straight path, once we have removed from them the eyesight? وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ. Allah says, and had we willed. Allah keeps on threatening them in this world, because they are threatening, and not only threatening, but they are persecuting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his household, and the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened them for a second time. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ. And had we willed, لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ. We would have disfigured them at these places where they are standing right now on their spots. We can allow their entire bodies to fall down disintegrated. We can do that. لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ. Don't think we only have control over your limbs on Akhirah or on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, we can do it right now. We can have you disfigured as you stand on the spot, on your place. فَمَسْتَطَاعُ مُضِيَّ. They would have not been able to move. وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Nor would they be able to return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the threats that they made consistently to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last ayah that we discussing this evening, a very beautiful ayah, something that you and I experience on a daily basis, especially those who have aged, and if we have people in our families who are of age and who are suffering from advanced age. Look at that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully explains it. Allah says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُمْ. And whomsoever we give long life, we give somebody long life. Okay? They have a long life. Nunakkisuhu fil khalq. What do we do to that person? We reverse him in creation. We give him a long life. We reverse him. Nunakkisuhu. So do they, afala ya'qilun? Again, Allah is emphasizing the importance of using the aql. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, study this old person. There's two words I want you to concentrate on. One is nu'ammir. Allah says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ. What does nu'ammir mean? There's nu'ammir and it's followed by nunakkis. Nu'ammir and nunakkis. Nu'ammir means to give long life. Allah, this word has been derived from ta'mir, which means prolong years of life. Nu'ammir, right? A very long life. Nunakkis is from tankis, which means to revert, to invert, or to turn upside down. To turn something upside down. That is what it means, tankis. Nu'ammir and nunakkis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes another manifestation of His perfect and great power. I mean, look at a human being. Lifeless drop. From a lifeless drop, a drop that had absolutely no life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made arrangement for that drop of sperm wrapped up in three layers of darkness in the womb of the mother. Then it was made to come alive once the ruh and the spirit was infused into it. Then after being nourished, after birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided nourishment for that child. Nourishment was made available for the child. And then time passed by, the child grew up into a youth, many stages passed, then came a strong body, and that child or that youngster or that man reached his full bloom. What happens after that? Nunakkis. It comes back down. It comes back down to that initial stages. Many of us might have relatives, family members, who are of advanced age. They're hearing, they have lost their hearing, they have lost their sight, they have become weak. Many of them use adult diapers. Nunakkis, that's nunakkis. Like a baby child, if you have a baby and you have a very, very old relative of yours, you can really draw so many similarities between the two. That is nunakkis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nunakkisuhu fil khalq. We reverse His entire creation. We turn it upside down. Completely upside down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that as one of the manifestations of the Qur'an. And just one thing I'd like to conclude. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi mentions this in Ruhul Ma'ani. He says a child, a small young child, who perhaps just starts walking or, you know, just a few years older than that, a child is always looking up. Right? You will notice it, the child is always looking up because the child is short, so they're always looking up. Right? And when that very child grows up and becomes old and becomes hunched, that person is looking way down. So he says, subhanallah, a child is looking up, he's looking towards his growth. He's looking towards his growth. Right? And that old man is looking down at the ground all the time. He's looking at what? His final destination. There was an old hunched man. He was walking in the marketplace and he was completely hunched over. And a youngster came up to him, a little boy came up to him and said, Baji, what you looking for? What you looking for? He says, you know what, I lost my youth somewhere. I'm just trying to find it. Layta shababa ya'ud. Layta shababa ya'ud. The desire and aspiration of every hunched old man is I wish my young days could come back to me. And we find that old people depend on others for everything, as is the case when you were a child. You depend on your mother and your father for everything. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ. This is one of the most powerful ayat of Surah Yasin. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ. That person whom we have given a long, prolonged life. نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We reverse him in as far as his creation is concerned. Allah says at the end of that again, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. These are signs that you have before you in your homes, in your families, in your communities. These are signs. Use your brains, use your intellect, and it will allow you to reach your Allah. May Allah grant us the understanding.